Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
And we're excited to start a new series called Questions. Y'all ever have any questions? You ever played 20 Questions, the game? Anybody in here ever played that game? If you live in my household with my wife, you play it every single day. I mean, I'm going to get her a shirt. She won't wear it to say, where's my phone? Where's my keys? You know what? I don't really carry her phone. I don't really carry her keys. So I really don't know the answer to that question. But don't you love this one, guys? What are you thinking? Come on. Does any guys out there know what I'm talking about? What are you thinking? You could be staring off into space, and she'll ask me every time, what are you thinking? And most of the time, come on, guys, can I get an amen? We ain't really thinking nothing. It's just we're out there in la-la land somewhere. We're thinking about a nap. We're thinking about what's coming on TV, but, you know, she wants me to go deep sometimes. I guess there's no deepness. There's nothing there right now. But I'm telling you, sometimes, why do we ask questions? The purpose of asking a question is to get an answer, is to get the truth, is to get a solution to a problem. There are yes and no questions. There are who, what, where, when, why, how. That's, she loves all those questions. There are also choice questions like either or. And let me tell you this morning, we serve a curious God. God started asking questions all the way back in the garden, all the way back in Genesis, all the way back in the beginning. God started asking, Adam, where are you? He knew where he'd been. Who told you, Adam, that you were naked? Just about that time that he said, wait a minute, Adam. Did you eat from that tree? I told you not to. God already knew the answer to the question. Then he looks at Cain and he says, what have you done? Why are you so angry? Where is your brother? He already knew all of the answers, but he asked the question to prompt reflection. What we do is we want to prompt reflection because it forces us to confront our actions. Sorry, y'all. Help me, Jesus. It helps us to reveal truth and guide us to a deeper relationship with God. We as humans, listen, this is what we do. We sometimes trade curiosity for expertise. We feel like, come on, not all y'all in here, but we feel like we have all of the answers, right? You ever been around that person who thinks they know everything? Even if they don't know it, they make it up to, come on, y'all know that person, right? You're like, you don't know nothing. You never went to school for that, or you didn't go to school anyway. But we feel like we have not only an answer, but the answer to everything. But I'm telling you, we should all be like the disciples. We should all be student learners. They didn't know everything, but here's what happened. They followed the question asker. They were curious. They wanted to know what the next step was going to be. Even though if you look at there, sometimes he was telling the disciples things. They were like, what the heck is he even talking about? You got to drink my blood and you got to eat my flesh. And the disciples are probably saying, we can't get Instagram followers talking like that, Jesus. But sometimes Jesus was harsh, and not hard, but he asked some hard, open-ended questions. I love this right. Here's a great verse that should make us breathe just a little bit easier. Jeremiah 33:3. Come on, y'all know this one. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. What that tells me is this. God knows that I don't know. And I know that God knows that I don't know. And if you're not curious, you're always, come on, here, somebody's guilty of this one, including me. If you're not curious, you're always going to be looking for a formula for a way to fix it. But can I tell you this morning, faith is a mystery. We all want it A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Sometimes faith is A, X, L, M, Z, Y, Q. That's what faith is. Faith wants you to walk when you don't have the answer. There's something we can rest in, is that we don't have all of the answer. But probably the main question we should be asking is this. Who is God? What are your thoughts about God? Come on, I'm gonna give you a second to think about that. Who is God? And what are your thoughts? What are some of the thoughts that come to your mind when I pose that question? Whatever comes into your mind about those questions is probably the most important way you think about God. In Matthew 25, two men walk up to Jesus and they say, Master, you've given us all this silver. We've invested in it. We've worked it. We've been good stewards, and we've even doubled it up. Come on, can I need an amen on that one? Here is the return on your investment. The master says to them, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'm going to make you ruler over many. Then the third guy walks up and says, Master, I knew you were a hard man. So I buried that treasure so I wouldn't lose it. What was he talking about? I knew you were a hard man. The master had come up and started giving out silver to everyone. What's hard about that? I knew you were a hard man. And what it did, it sounded generous and good to me. I don't know about you all. But his fear of failure and his fear of disappointing the master caused him to be lazy. Our human logic is self-preservation or self-preserving. We limit what God can do because of fear. And what fear does, fear acts as a chokehold, and it allows us not to walk in the things that God has for us. The opposite of faith is sight. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And lack of faith produces fear. The master would have appreciated if he took this money, went and put it in the bank, even though we were going to draw maybe 2 or 3% interest on it. Come on, can I get an amen unless you get a good one? But he would appreciate it if he would have invested in the gift that he gave to him. Come on, that'll preach. God is looking for us to invest in what he has given us. So many times we take our time, our talent, our treasure, and we bury it deep, 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 deep. And we, you know why? Because we're afraid. We're afraid to come out of our shell. We're afraid to do those things because maybe we failed before. My lovely wife says this, we fail forward to success. If you're never trying anything, you're never doing anything. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. He did not ever intend for this guy to bury his gifts. So we think about questions. The question is, who is God? Didn't say title. But our thoughts about God sometimes are this, that he lives in heaven, he's the man upstairs, and he's invisible, and he's the good guy that has, you know, you have the devil on one side, the angel over here. He's the good guy that makes all the right decisions. But there are hindrances in our questions to who is God. One of them is this, culture. There are a lot of people who are vocal in their belief that there is no God. Scientists are trying to tell us that. Media is trying to tell us that. Universities are trying to tell us that. Family and friends are even trying to tell us that. It can be very difficult to stand in what you believe in. We live in such an offendable society that you can't believe what you want to believe. You can't be vocal about what you want to be vocal about because you're going to offend somebody. If you're offended, Jesus said, Jesus offended everybody up in there. And he said this in the word. He said, the gospel is offensive. It's not lollipops and sugar. Never mind. Another hindrance is to having a relationship with God is that we lead busy lives. Can you say busy? You talk to 100 people, probably talk to 100 people in this church where I've been so busy. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so busy. But do we ever take time to investigate who God is? We have all, I've said this before, I'm saying it again because repeat is good. Repetition is good, it's a better word. We have all of this information at our fingertips. Come on, we Google for hours. We research for hours what restaurant we want to go to. We Yelp it. If it don't get 4.5 stars, we ain't going to it. Vacation sites. Sometimes you spend hours scrolling on your phone looking for stuff. But do we ever take time to research God and get to know more about Him? You know why we don't? Because it's easier to just go with the flow. It's easier to go with how we were brought up. It's easier to say what our friends believe and what culture says. These times should drive us to something. These times often drive us to something other than investigating who God is in our lives. We look to ourselves. We look to our families. We look to the government. We look to society. We look, instead of looking into God's word and His wisdom. Come on, the Bible's not just a cute bunch of stories. It's living and breathing every day. So how do we see God? Like this gentleman, see, if you saw God as a harsh God and angry and ready to strike you down with lightning bolts, come on, that's how I grew up. He was going to strike me down every time I said a cuss word. I had to be at the altar every church service because I was a sinner. Most of the time I was guilty of that too. But if you see God that way, that's how you're going to see yourself, and that's how you're going to see other people around you. How do you see God? Maybe you see God as the tally mark God, right? He's up there keeping track of everything you do. He said that. He thought that. That was weird. But if you see God as the tally mark God, you're always going to be thinking He's up there putting a check mark against you, not for you. Do we see God as a personal God, as a God that we can actually come to and talk to every day? Or is He somewhere out there, some force to... like Star Wars force, is He somewhere out there we don't really have any kind of connection with Him? Or is He like a variety God? You get to pick what you want. You don't get to pick pieces and parts of what we are. You have to believe the whole gospel. God is there, are we serve God as a Google God, you know? He's there to give us the answers, the ones we want. Come on, if He don't give us the right answer, we ask a different question most of the time. And then if He doesn't give us the right answer, what do? With Him? We slide Him back in the back pocket for another time. It could be that you're angry, you're frustrated, you're always defeated. It's maybe because you have a father wound. There's a father wound of abandonment. It makes it difficult to listen and even speak to God. Why? Because maybe your own father was not there to hear you. He wasn't there to speak into your life. A father wound can make you feel low self-esteem, make you feel unworthy, make you feel unloved. And here's the worst part of it. It can cause you to see God as unavailable to you. God, you're just too busy with my little life that you don't have time to listen to me. You got all kinds of problems going on. Look at the world around you. Here's a big one. You can see God is disappointed in you. He wished you would have been someone else. Come on. There's so many people trying to live up to their big brother, their big sister, their aunt, uncles, cousins. They're trying to be, and they'll never be them. And they leave such disappointing lives because maybe their parents want them to be that person. Come on, I've seen dads want the younger son to be what the older son was. He's never going to be that. Why don't you encourage him to be who he is? Is God holy? Absolutely. Is God righteous? Absolutely. But He's also loving. You, as faulted and as blemished as you are still His child. At the end of the day, your kids are still your kids. I said this a couple weeks ago. They still need to be corrected. Amen. Amen. Come on, some more than others. Can I get an amen on that one? They need to be guided, but they're still your child. Can I tell you this morning with a surety? God is much better than you think he is. We've had all of these things distorting our view of God. And until we get the image and the idea of who God the Father is, it's going to affect the next question, who we are. You ask the question sometimes, who am I? There's a struggle right now going on with identity. We have an identity crisis, an identity problem in the world today. And we were made to have communion with God. We were made to walk in the cool of the day with him. We were made to be with God. But with one choice, it's the woman's fault. That's a joke. Y'all don't be throwing shoes. But with one choice, things changed. God's design, the way he designed it, was corrupted forever. Sin entered the world, evil entered the world, but mainly, here's the big part, separation from the Father, separation from God happened. And that's the biggest one. I heard somebody say one day, if you don't make it into heaven and hell is your home, the hardest thing that you are going to have to encounter, I know they talk about flames and all that, is that know that you are separated from your Creator forever. There's a hole that only God can fill in your heart. And if you don't ever fill them, you're always going to be looking for something to fill that hole in your heart. I wish I wrote it down better. But you will always be looking for something to fill that hole until you fill it with the right things, until you fill it with the Father, until you fill it with Jesus, until you fill it with the relationship that you've been trying to find with everyone else and doing everything else. You're never going to be satisfied. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste. Come on. He wants to not just give you a taste. He wants you to give you all of him. I've tasted and I've seen. The question with identity is because our reason why our identity is the problem is because of our time, because of our stinking thinking. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians, go on down. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, every thought, wow, that's hard, Pastor Rich, into captivity in the obedience of God. Author Christina Patterson said this, our thoughts lead to our beliefs, which leads to our actions, which leads to the quality of our lives. Our thoughts have too great an impact, and they have impacted us, so we have to guard them and keep them in God's will. Our minds have to be guarded all the time. What does renewing your mind mean? It means taking your thoughts captive. I'm going to give you the simplest way of doing it. You ever start thinking something? Nope, I can't think that way. Y'all ever do that? Yes, I've had to reel my mouth in a few times. Everybody's had to reel their mouth in a little bit because that thought comes up, and the first thing you want to start doing is you want to start spewing what you're thinking out to someone else. Sometimes we got to bite our tongue. Sometimes we need to sew our mouths shut. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Help me. But what we do when we renew our thoughts, we accept responsibility for our thoughts, and we confess them to God. God, I don't want to think this way. Listen, he wants to hear from your heart. If there's thinking things that you're thinking and things you're going through, tell him each and every day, God, I don't want to feel this way. Why do I feel this way, God? There's a question. Ask God, why do I feel this way? And then allow the Holy Spirit to start speaking and turning. He'll take you in a circle, and he'll highlight something to you if you'll allow him to listen. If you'll listen to him and allow him to. You got to think through your problems rather than just to react to them. Any reactionaries in the house? Oh, I saw some hands going up. Y'all need to be saved later. Here we go. We're going to have 4 altar calls. You have to choose your thoughts and make them the right things. Think on these things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely. Think on those things. So many times, man, because it's been ingrained in us, the first thing we come up is we live in a very negative world. And the first thing, I told somebody the other day, when I wake up every morning, my idea is to be in a good mood. Sam's grouchy till about 11. I've already figured that out. But I wake up every day, I want to be smiling. I want to be in a good mood. There may be things that have started. I'm helping somebody. There may be something during the day that may cause you to get to the place where you're a little lower. But start each day knowing that you put a smile on your face because you've been redeemed. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Come on. So many times we wake up each morning, Lindsay, and we start thinking of all the negative things and the things that are down. And he said, if you get your... Don't roll your feet out of bed and say, my feet are hurting today. Say, thank you, Jesus, that I can stand. Come on, thank you that I can get up. Woo! We do a thing here at this church called inner healing and deliverance. And if you haven't gone through it, you should go through it. It takes you to the places that sometimes you've buried and you don't remember. It takes you to the places of where you really need to be healed from, but yet, again, you've buried it. You don't want to talk about it anymore. We offer that here, and I highly suggest that you take advantage of that because it's a very good program. You have to start seeing yourself differently. If you have multiple kids, they're all different. Come on. Anybody got 3 or 4 kids and 2 of them are totally opposite of the other, right? Come on. You have to start letting them be who they're going to be. They're never going to be their older brother or older sister. They're going to be him. God says you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. That means he made each and every one of you. You may not like it, but he made you for a purpose. Moses was a great leader, but he struggled with identity. He just struggled with who he was. God says, go. And Moses said, I can't because I stutter. But you know what his name means? His name means drawn out. The same way he was drawn out of the Nile River. It's what God had already, he had to remind him that that was what he was going to do for the children of Israel, for God's promised people. He had to remind him who he was. He had to remind him of the assignment that he had for him. The leaders came up to John the Baptist and said, who are you? I love his response. I am not the Messiah. I am not Elijah. I am not a prophet. Here what shows me is John the Baptist knew who he was, and he did not have to be someone that he wasn't. Come on. Oh, I'm not getting ahead of myself. Then they ask, who are you? He said, I'm a voice. I may not be a lot of other things, but I have a voice. Come on, so many times the enemy tries to keep us silent because of our past. He keeps us silent because of regret and shame. But you got to remember that your testimony is for someone who needs to come out of the same place you were. God is going to use what you've been, he's going to use your mess as a message. And he's going to use what you've been through to help someone else. Come on, you got to believe that this morning. They brought David up and getting ready to fight the giant. And Saul said, come over here, let me put my armor on you. And we got a little David coming up through there. He's about 14, 15 years old. He's trying to put Saul's helmet on and his, I mean, this stuff weighed a ton. But David knew whose he was. And he says, I can't go in someone else's armor. He said, I can't go in what makes you comfortable. I can't go in what you may feel like I need. I'm going in the name of Jesus. I don't need all that spear. And I don't, you know what? He took the sword from the enemy, cut the enemy's head off. He didn't even take a sword into battle. Oh, help me, Jesus. I love that story. We are not the same. You are different. I am not someone else. I'm me. Whether you like it or not, I'm me. I tell that to my wife sometimes, and she's like, well, you need to change. And I do. I did need to change some things. I remember we started this whole thing. I was preaching to 150 high school kids. And we were going to conferences, and we were seeing these big name people, and they were all in skinny jeans and boots. So I got me some skinny jeans, poured myself into them, got me some boots, didn't like them at first, but she said they look good. I was like, okay, you like my boots? We're good. But here's the big thing. I tried to change who I was. It wasn't just what I was wearing, it was what I was wearing in my heart. If I could just be him, they're gonna respond to me. If I could be just him, these young people will respond to me. Because I was old, I was an old youth pastor. The enemy tried to use that against me, said, you'll never affect them, you'll never change. And you know what, one day, I won't even say the name, God told me, you are not him. Be you. Freed me. So I can talk in my southern twang if I want to. I can be who I want to be because I'm confident in who God's called me to be. And yeah, I may have had to ask for all the slang words. I may have had to ask for all the things that I didn't know and I wasn't hip and cool enough to be. But man, we started seeing God, a connection with a generation that I didn't think I had a connection to. It's all because I said yes to who I am. Come on, this is good this morning. Say yes to who you are. Not who somebody's told you you are. I love Pastor Sam because I've been around him now for 6 months, whatever. And he is who he is. And sometimes I rebuke him a couple times for being him. But here's the thing. Sometimes he rebukes me. And I'm learning just as much from him as he's learning from me. Come on. We need to be comfortable in our own skin. We need to be comfortable in our own voice. You are fearfully, you are wonderfully made, Lindsay. Comfortable in your own self. Comfortable in your own abilities. Comfortable in your talents. Not trying to compare yourself with someone else, because you know what? Comparison kills. If you're on Instagram, I'm not. If you're on social media and you're always looking at some influencer or someplace, can I tell you that you don't know that they have bad breath when they get up in the morning? Her hair don't look that good. His teeth ain't that straight. He's been photoshopped. But so many times with all of the things around us, we start comparing ourselves. We start talking down to ourselves because we're not there. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Be you. When you start being you, not even in my notes. When you start being you, you're going to start seeing God pull out that gold. You're going to see, start mining deep inside of you to pull out everything that it needs to be. Dang, I'm already a minute over. I'm not even half done. Steak, name of Jesus. You are not who you used to be. You know why? Because of Jesus. Look at John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me, there's a position, you may have peace. In the world, come on, he didn't promise a rose garden. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Because I have overcome the world. I want to tell you this morning who you are and you who you can be in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9. I love it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. The King James says we are peculiar. Oh, I've been called peculiar before. That you may proclaim his praises of him who called you out. Come on. Dead things come alive. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can I tell you, you've been chosen. You've been selected. You've been picked as his best. God chose his best so you could be chosen. You know that this morning? You can be chosen not by your race and not by your social status, not by your denomination. Old school, by the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus. There is no other way but through Jesus. John the Baptist came with a voice. You know what he was preaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven draws near. Hey, John, what are you doing on Monday night? Repent, for the kingdom. Tuesday night, revival. John, what are we doing? Repent, for the kingdom. He didn't have a bunch of sermons. But he was so in tune with who he was and who God called him to be, he was comfortable in saying the things, even if it was repetition. The Bible says you're a royal priesthood. You have a status of a king. You know, I tell you this morning, you need to walk around a little bit with your head cocked back a little bit. That ain't proud. I'm a child of the king. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm a citizen of heaven. Come on, we got to start walking in confidence and authority of who we are. I like what he says in verse 9. It says, own. That means you are his special, distinct, different. You stand out. Normal's boring. I get caught up in normal a lot. My wife has to tell me, that's boring. We're going to change something. And if you've been around this church, she's the queen of change. Hey, yeah. But let me tell you what, change is good. If you're complacent, still sitting in the same spot in your life right now, do something different and give it a try. He says, we're not normal. And God has separated us from the rest. He's claimed us at his own. You know what? He put his stamp of approval on you. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sometimes, as the piano is playing lightly, you just got to remember where you were. Sometimes the best thing that you can come in is, let me free you up. I don't mean living there. That means remembering where he brought you from. Come on, sometimes you just have to go back into that memory bank and go, I was addicted, God, and you brought me out. I was depressed, God, and now I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I was discouraged, and man, you started encouraging me. And David said this, I'm going to help you this morning. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I don't wear boots, but anyway. You have to pull yourself up and say, you know what? I'm a child of the King. Darkness into light, that you can proclaim his praises. Our identity that he's given us is not for just our, it's not just for us, it's for everyone else. So as we dig into this question, as we get ready to close, don't stand yet. As we dig into this question, who is God? Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart. Can I tell you something this morning? You could know, I'm not talking head knowledge. You could know as much about God as you want to, but he wants you to search him. Search for him. The more we search, the more we'll find the answers to the questions that we need the answers to the questions for. The more you search for him, the question of who am I? You're going to start to understand that you were made in his image. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Look at the next verse. And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I got an exercise for you. I've done it before, we're going to do it again. Take a deep breath. Take another one. One more. That's the breath of God. He's breathing in you every single day. So let me tell you what, I'm not talking about just life, but maybe when you get up in the morning and you feel like, man, I just got... Thank you, God, for my breath. Thank you, God, that you're breathing into me each and every day. New life, new hope, new dreams. We were created and birthed to have communion with him. So I think each and every day that we just need to take the time to acknowledge who he is. And once we acknowledge who he is, he's going to start showing you more and more and more of the things that you need to know so you can find out who you are. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born into sin. Our identity changed. You know, our identity changed with a choice. But Jesus came, he identified with us. He died and he rose again to give us a new identity. Born again means that our identity totally changed with that choice. Let's all stand if we would, please. I know this morning it's a little heavy. It's okay. Sometimes we need those heavy things to kind of fall on us a little bit to start making us ask more questions. Can I tell you this morning, God's not afraid of your questions. If you have questions, he's a God who wants a personal relationship with you. Be able to ask him anything you want. This morning, maybe you're thinking, man, God, I'm having an identity crisis right now. I'm having some problems focusing on who I am and what you've called me to be. This morning, if you have, maybe you have a father wound, maybe there's something that needs to be healed in your life and you just can't go forward with it. I'm going to ask you while we get ready to sing this song. And if you don't know Jesus, that's the number one step right there. I'm talking about confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God. And starting that personal relationship with Jesus, again, not head knowledge, but heart knowledge of who he really is. You can start by, the prayer team's gonna be on the left and the right up here, dear, where it gives, we get ready to sing this song. I really feel it even from this morning. I feel like there's some wounds. There's some open wounds right now. They ain't even scarred over. They're still open. There's also some scarred over wounds that you wear that longer tee because you don't want somebody to see it. And God wants that to be revealed this morning in your heart, around this altar, because he wants to change some things. This morning, I'm gonna ask you, if you would, as we get ready to sing this song, to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he's speaking right now. I already hear him speaking to someone right now. And sometimes, I've said it before, that walk from the back to the front can be as freeing. Oh, you might think, man, I can't walk up there. I can't do that. I can't be around that altar. But sometimes that walk from the back to the front can free you from something. Before you even get to the front, you can start feeling the freedom. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to be open and honest with God, because he already knows. He just wants you to reveal the things you need to be healed from. In Jesus' name.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.com/online. We love you so much. Have a good one.